Present historians would have us believe that prior to the advent of Islam, there was no civilization, no religion, no culture in Arabia. Unfortunately, facts speak otherwise. We find a lot of evidence to the contrary from Indian texts and also from Arab historians themselves, which seem to have been suppressed. For instance, from the references in India, we can always find that 786 is flipped womb of Hinduism. Prophet Muhammad's uncle, he has written a poem on Shiva. Look at it. Shiva Stuti has been composed by Prophet Muhammad, and the ancestors of Muhammad, Prophet Muhammad, have been the custodians of the temple of Shiva in Mecca, and also they were in charge of the Zamzam spring, which is Ganges. I will be talking about that in another podcast. And there is a lot of Hindu symbols, Saraswati, rishis are found. I have in my blog site, www.ramanisblog.in, written in detail about the presence of Saptapati mantra, which is being used even today in Hindu marriages, presence of Saraswati, Navagrahas in Arabia, and all of these predate Muhammad. For these articles, I received a comment in Facebook asking me not to be foolish about Islam. And the reader went on to trace the genealogy of Arabia from Quran. I did not seem it fit to reply to the comment there. This comment made me research further about the Vedic roots of Arabia. Arabia is from the Sanskrit word Arava. Arava meaning horse and stand place. Arabia is thus the place of horses. Ancient Tamil literature abounds in reference to Arabia as the land of horses, and all the ancient Tamil kings, Chera, Chola, Pandyas, imported horses from Arabia. Note that the recent dating of these kingdoms are pushed back by at least 5,000 to 6,000 years before Christ, minimum. The major land route to Arabia was from the northwest of India, and the Arabic people drew spiritual inspiration from India. The Uttarapath, Northern Highway, was the international highway to the north of India. It was via Uttarapath that Arabia and other Middle Eastern countries drew their spiritual, educational and material sustenance from India. Besides, the sea links were formed with India at least 800 years before the advent of Islam. Bhatsa was the ancient gateway to India because it was at this port that the Arab lands received Indian goods, mainly spice, and visitors. At that time, the spoken language was Sanskrit there, which later dwindled into the local variation that we all now know as Arabic. Thousands of words that were derived from Sanskrit still survive in Arabic. For example, what I will be saying is in Sanskrit, the next is Arabic, and the equivalent is in English. Number one, Sagwan, Saj, take wood, Vish, Besh, poison, Anusari, Ansari, follower, Sishya, Sanskrit, Sheikh, Arabic, disciple, Mrityu, death, Mouth, death, Pragambar, Paigambar, one from heaven, Malin, Sanskrit, Malaun, dirty or soiled, Apati, Sanskrit, Afat, misfortune, Karpas, Kaifas, cotton, Karpur, Kafur, camphor, Pramukh, Barmak, chief. These are the examples Even various kinds of swords were referred to as Handwani, Hindi, Saiful Hind, Mohanid and Hindunani. The Sanskrit astronomical treatise Brahmaspada Siddhanta in Arabic translation is known as Sindh Hind, while another treatise Kandakadayaka was called Arkand. Mathematics itself was called Hindisa in Arabic. The Arabs derived technical guidance in every branch of study, such as astronomy, mathematics, and physics from history. Today, we find historians reversing history and saying that these were imported from Arabia. Some people wrongly believe that Arabs used the word Hindu as a term of contemptuous abuse. Nothing could be further from the truth. The people of pre-Islamic Arabia held Hinduism in great esteem, as evident from the fact that they would endearingly call their most attractive and favorite daughters as Hinda and Saifi Hindi. The fact that Arabs regarded India as their spiritual and cultural motherland long before the damaging influence of Islam is corroborated by the following poem, which mentions each one of the four Vedas by name. I'll read out only the English translation, and at the end of this I'll tell you who the author is. O, the divine land of Hind, how very blessed art thou, because thou art the chosen of God, blessed with knowledge, that celestial knowledge which like four lighthouses shone in such brilliance through utterances of Indian sages in fourfold abundance. God enjoins on all humans, follow with hands down the path the Vedas with his divine precept lay down. Bursting with divine knowledge are Sam and Yajur bestowed on creation. Hence, brothers, respect and follow the Vedas, guides to salvation. Two others, the Rig and Athar, teach us fraternity, sheltering under their luster, dispels darkness till eternity. This poem was written by Labi bin E. Akub bin E. Turfa, who lived in Arabia around 1850 BC. That was 2300 years before Muhammad. These words can be found in Sayrul Ukul, which is an anthology of ancient Arabic poetry. It was compiled in 1742 AD under the order of the Turkish Sultan Salim. That the Vedas were the religious scriptures to which the Arabs owed allegiance as early as 1800 BC proves not only the antiquity of the Vedas, but also the existence of the Indian rule over the entire region from the Indus to the Mediterranean, because it's a fact of history that the religion of the ruler is practiced by his subjects. Vedic culture was very much alive just before the birth of Muhammad. Again, let's refer to Sainul Ukul. The following poem was written by Juram bin Toy, who lived 165 years before Prophet Muhammad. It is in praise of India's great king Vikramaditya, who had lived 500 years before Bin Toy. Let me read the English translation. Fortunate are those who were born during King Vikram's reign. He was a noble, generous, dutiful ruler, devoted to the welfare of his subjects. But at that time, we Arabs, oblivious of divinity, were lost in sensual pleasures. Plotting and torture were rampant. The darkness of ignorance had enveloped our country. Like a lamb struggling for its life in the cruel jaws of the wolf, we Arabs were gripped by ignorance. The whole country was enveloped in a darkness as intense as on a new moon night. But the present dawn and present sunshine of education is the result of the flower of that noble King Vikram, whose benevolence did not lose sight of us foreigners as we were. He spread his sacred culture amongst us and sent scholars from his own land whose brilliance shone like the sun in our country. These scholars and preceptors, through whose benevolence we were once again made aware of the presence of God, introduced to his secret knowledge and put on the road to truth, had come to our country to initiate us in that culture and impart education. Quote ends. Vedic culture and culture, religion and culture were present in pre-Islamic Arabia as early as 1850 BC, and definitely it was present during the time of Prophet's birth. And you find Vishnu's footprints are found in Mecca, and I will podcast about them. This incidentally coincides with my earlier researches on the date of Vikramaditya. Vikramaditya, Chandragupta Vikramaditya, there have been, one date has been assigned by the modern historians, 321 AD. That's the time we ascended the throne, which is absolutely ridiculous when we compare it with the historical figures, because it was introduced by William Jones, manipulated at least by about 1200 years, actual date, to 321 BC. So his reign should have been around the 16th century BC. That is, that was around, now there was an evidence that it was dated to be 1530 BC. Now later evidence, another evidence I unearthed is that it denoted as 105 BC. On balance, now here we find a very clear evidence from Arabic writers themselves, the earlier reference also I have taken from Al-Biruni. Taking all these things together, the date of Vikramaditya is confirmed at 1530 to begin with, and it also can be dated at 1850 BC. I tend to agree with the date at 1850 BC, because this, that is 1850, that's about the time when Vikramaditya had conquered over the kingdom of Saudi Arabia and established Hindu Rajya then. In my earlier podcast, I was speaking about the presence of Vikramaditya in Arabia and how the Arabian culture and civilization was in place, and what is also the culture was highly advanced before the advent of the Prophet and Islam. During that course of that podcast, I traced how the kingdom of Vikramaditya was present in Arabia. Now let me add more information to that, and more podcasts will follow on the remains of Chandragupta Empire in Arabia. Now, before we proceed further, one should understand that there was an empire called the Parthian Empire. Now, what we right now is Persia, now it is in Iran. Those areas, there was an empire called Parthian. This Parthian Empire was preceded by a lot of ancient empires, which can also be traced back to Indian kings from the north of India and also the south of India and Satpura, that is from Tamils. Now, in the year 247 BC, the Parthians overthrew the Mauryan Empire, which was established by the Chandragupta the One, and the Parthians established a new dynasty called Arsacids or Parthians. During the 2nd century, the Parthians were able to extend their rule to Bactria, Babylonia, Susiana, and Media, and under Mithridates, that is around 125 BC. Parthian conquest stretched from Persia to Armenia. After the victories of Mithridates, the Parthians began to claim descent from both the Greeks and Achaemenids. And thus emboldened, Parthians invaded தி சப்கான்டினென்ட் ஆஃப் பாரத வருஷா இன் அரவுண்ட் 55 BC அண்ட் திஸ் மேட் விக்ரமாதித்யா டு இன்வேட் வெஸ்ட் ஆசியா வாட் வி ரைட் நவு கால் ஆஸ் மிடில் ஈஸ்ட். தி விக்டரிஸ் ஆஃப் விக்ரமாதித்யா ஆஃப் பாபிலோன் பெர்ஷியா அண்ட் டெர்க்ஸ் லெட் இம் அகெயின் டு தி அரேபியா அண்ட் சவுண்டட் தி அவர் ஆஃப் அட்டாக்யா ஆன் அரேபியா. ஹி அட்டாக் ட்வைஸ். வென் ஹி கான்கர்ட் அரேபியா ஹி டிட் ஸோ டு தி சீஃப்ஸ் ஃப்ரம் தி ஜூயிஷ் அண்ட் அரப் கம்யூனிட்டி. தே வெல்கம்ட் ஹிம் ஆஸ் அ லிபரேட்டர். ஹி ஷோட் கிரேட் ஃபர்பரன்ஸ் அண்ட் ரெஸ்பெக்ட் டுவர்ட்ஸ் த ரிலீஜியஸ் பிலீஃப்ஸ் அண்ட் கல்ச்சுரல் ட்ரெடிஷன்ஸ் ஆஃப் தி பீப்புள் லிவிங் தேர். தீஸ் குவாலிட்டிஸ் ஏர்ன் ஹிம் தி ரெஸ்பெக்ட் அண்ட் ஹோமேஜ் ஆஃப் ஆல் தி பீப்புள் ஓவர் ஹூம் ஹி ரூல்ட். The victory over Arabia expressed all the facets of the policy of conciliation which Vikramaditya had followed until then. He presented himself not as an emperor or a conqueror, but a liberator and the legitimate successor to the crown. He took the title of King of Aryavarta and liberator of the Arabs, Turks and Jews. Vikramaditya had no thought of forcing conquered people into a single mold and had the wisdom to leave unchanged the institution of each kingdom he attached to the Aryavarta crown. Vikramaditya was upright and a great leader of men. He was benevolent. He spread the Vedic culture in the land of Arabia. He reconstructed the temple of Brahma and Mahesh and placed a Jyotirlinga there. Several other Vedic temples were made in Babylon, Persia and Turkestan. And today we can find a Shiva temple in Petra, Jordan, and you find Shivalinga in Kaaba. Zamzam is nothing but Ganga river, and the ancestor of Prophet Muhammad were the custodians of the temples built by Vikramaditya. More evidence I will be presenting in the coming podcast as to how the whole area was benevolently ruled by Vikramaditya, and his rule of this kingdom extended from 55 BC till the death of his son Devadatta in 102 AD. This approximately work out to 147 years, which means Arabia was under the rule of Vikramaditya Vardhan's dynasty rule for 147 years.